It's only fitting that what could be a major discovery about arsenic in groundwater is published on this Groundwater Awareness Week. If you're thinking there's arsenic in groundwater, the short answer is yes, but arsenic can take different forms in water. And a new study published just yesterday by a flock of University of Oregon scientists changes what we know about those forms of arsenic, and that raises the possibility of transforming arsenic in groundwater to potentially less dangerous forms. The study is published in the journal Nature Geoscience with the mouthful title of Substantial Contribution of Biomethylation to Aquifer Arsenic Cycling. Professor Chusheng Jin is a geologist at the University of Oregon and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Welcome, Professor Jin.
Good morning. Thank you.
It's good to have you here today. So set the general scene. Arsenic does occur naturally in groundwater.
That's indeed, yes.
Okay. And is it often at levels considered unsafe for human consumption?
Well, it really depends, particularly in Oregon, in Willamette Basin, the area that I'm familiar with. Depends on where you are, you can get arsenic levels in groundwater 1,000 times higher than the drinking water standards. By the way, the drinking water standards is 10 ppb, or in different ways, 10 microgram per liter. But in other areas of the basin, you don't see arsenic. So the short answer to your question is it really depends on where you are.
So are there certain types of rock that are more likely to be arsenic-bearing?
Oh, yes, indeed. That's a very good question. That's also the question I encountered many times when I visited the rural area of Willamette Basin. Based on my experience and also others who work in this area, the particular rock type in this area that is you easily find arsenic in groundwater is called fissure formation. And this is a rock that covers a large part of the rural area around Eugene Springfield area.
All right, so a particular kind of rock for sure. And then what did you set out to do with this study then, Professor Jin?
Make sure that I understand the question right. So you asked me my intention or the goal for this arsenic research, is that right?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, thank you. At the beginning, I moved here to Eugene to be a professor at the university in 2005. And I wasn't aware of arsenic problem in the rural area, but I grew up on a farm, so you know I really like to visit the farms. So I do that quite often, even now. So when I visited the farms around the Eugene Springfield area, and I learned from farmers that there is a big problem arsenic in groundwater. And that really sets my interest in this particular question, where the arsenic is coming from. And then if we know these mechanisms of arsenic contamination, maybe I can help the farmers to find a way that we can decrease arsenic levels in groundwater. So that was my intention at the beginning.
And are there ways that are, I mean, how currently is arsenic dealt with in groundwater? Is there a way to treat it that reduces it or filters it out or something?
Right. That's the question that many houses in the rural area have arsenic problem in their water have to deal with. The common ways to treat arsenic contaminated water is a method called pump and treat. That is, you pump your arsenic rich water out, and then you run through a system called reverse osmosis. And then when the water running through the treatment system, it is supposed to be clean. So that's a common way I see around Eugene Springfield area how groundwater is treated.
Is that a fairly slow treatment process? Because of the osmosis part of it implies moving through a membrane, which would be kind of slow, I would think.
Oh, indeed, yes. It's a slow process. But for a household, if you don't use these water to irrigate your lawn, but just for cooking or taking showers, I think is enough, provided that you have a relatively large holding tank for the water.
And arsenic is a metal, is that right?
We call it a metalloid, which means it's an element that have characteristics of both metals and non-metal elements. So metalloid, to be a scientific strict.
All right, we're talking to Dr. Chusheng Jin, a geologist at the University of Oregon, one of five scientists named as the authors of a study indicating that there could be changes in the way we look at arsenic in drinking water based on some results from the Willamette Valley. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange with questions or comments at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, 800-838-3760, or by email jx@jeffnet.org. So, Dr. Jin, how did you choose specifically where to study?
In our five-member team, I have a collaborator called Steve Hinkle. He is a long-time scientist who worked on this problem. He's not the first one, but he is probably the one who studied the most extensively of arsenic problem in Willamette Basin. He published a report in 1998 by USGS on this particular topic. When I team up with him, he pointed out particularly to this location around the Eugene Springfield area, and specifically Creswell. And based on at that time, he imagined that this is a hot spot of arsenic contamination, which means I can easily find wells with high amount of arsenic, which provide is very convenient for water sampling and data collection, and so likely will be a successful endeavor in this area.
All right, so the wells certainly have plenty of arsenic in there. Now, one of the issues here, one of the major issues of this study, is that arsenic does take different forms in the water. Is that right?
Correct. So what we call in our work is arsenic cycling. Basically, what it means is the transformation of arsenic among different forms through different reservoirs. A reservoir is, in terms of geological terms, is a space that holds this element. For example, lake waters, oceans, or aquifers.
All right, and what happens in the process of the cycling? It cycles from watt to watt, and does it go
right
back again?
Yeah. Right. To answer that question, I have to go back to explain first what type of arsenic we see in nature.
Mm-hmm.
Chemically, arsenic can exist in many different forms. For example, elemental arsenic, but this is very rare. Most of the common form in natural water is what we call arsenate, which is arsenic. Elemental arsenic has a redox state of positive 5. The other, but less common form, but also it's dominant, is arsenite, which is has a redox state of positive 3. Arsenate is commonly found in surface, in what we call water table aquifer, which basically is a body of water that is right below our feet in the subsurface. And when these water gets too deep, when the oxygen is gone, then arsenite tends to be more dominant.
And is either one, arsenite or arsenate, less dangerous for human consumption than the other?
That's correct. So we, in general, we set EPA, it sets the standard of drinking water for 10 ppb. But that refers to the total arsenic. But among different forms of arsenic, arsenite is the worst. Arsenate is a little better, but still it's toxic.
All right. And so is there any form of arsenic that is not especially toxic and would be you could deal with it if it were present in your drinking water?
There are, which is organic forms, forms of arsenic. But those are forms that in general accumulated in the biomass of marine life, and that's not common in groundwater. Most forms in groundwater, majority of them, or more than 90% of them, are inorganic, which means they are arsenate and arsenite. There are other forms of organic arsenic in groundwater, which is a methylated, which means there's a methyl group that added, or there's a carbon group added to arsenic. This form is less toxic than compared to arsenite and arsenate, but still they are toxic.
All right, we have a call for you. Let's go to Mark in Redding. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about arsenic and groundwater with Dr. Chusheng Jin at the University of Oregon.
Good morning. on the reverse osmosis process, what becomes of the heavily laden water, you know, the heavily arsenic-laden water that's left over from that process?
Yeah, so what's stuck on the filtering process? Interesting question. Thanks for that, Mark.
Thanks, Mark. Based on my understanding of reverse osmosis, there is a valve that you have to open occasionally to release the wastewater that have all the salts that has been filtered out. That is my understanding.
All right. Thanks again for the question, Mark. So if we're talking, Dr. Jin, about this process of cycling in arsenic and groundwater, and this is the biomethylation process, is that right?
That's correct. We term it a biomethylation. Basically, we want to emphasize that this is a biological process that is driven by bacteria, by life that we cannot see, so small. And it's methylation, which means microbes or bacteria, they add a methyl group. We heard of methane, which is CH4, is a gas form.
Mm-hmm.
A methyl group is just an organic form that derives, similar to methane, but doesn't have four hydrogen, but just have three. So it's we call it a methane, which is CH3.
As opposed to CH4.
That's right.
Okay.
So organism or bacteria, they add this group of methyl to arsenic.
And so is there something that in the process of study here you figured out that might be done to make the biomethylation process? I mean, do you want to make the biomethylation process happen potentially?
Yes, I would argue so. The reason that I favor the biomethylation is because it's a way to evaporate, get rid of the dissolved arsenic in groundwater. So hopefully then this process can help decrease the level of arsenate and arsenite in groundwater.
And how might that process be spurred on to do what it sounds like it might do naturally?
Right. So to answer that question, I want to explain the life of microbes in aquifers or in subsurface in general. Life in the subsurface is terrible. It's terrible because those life, they don't have enough food, don't have enough nutrients, so they are starved. As a result, they grow very slowly. Their metabolism, which means if they use arsenic as their substrates for their reaction, very, very slowly. So we don't see that process at a significant rate under natural conditions. So if we want to, say, stimulate or speed up the methylation process, one way, which we tested in our work, is to add the nutrients to help them to grow. And the way that we propose is we can provide, say, some organic forms of nutrients like ethanol. Everybody likes ethanol. Microbes like ethanol too. When they see the ethanol, they use it as their food. They're happy. They can speed up the process. So produce these methylated arsenic much faster than under natural conditions.
Which is an interesting prospect then. So potentially you're talking about putting bacteria into groundwater wells to make the drinking water safer from an arsenic standpoint?
So your question is very, very intriguing, and I have to answer in a few small steps. First, you mentioned adding bacteria into groundwater. As a geologist who works on the groundwater quality, and I would argue against that approach, that's just my personal opinion. If we don't have to add bacteria into the aquifer, I would say please don't, because bacteria, they have magical powers, which means which doesn't mean they do magics, but simply means they can do a lot of things, and many processes they can, like, we simply don't know. So if we add a magical bacteria that we know they can catalyze methylation, but we don't know what else they can do, when we add them to aquifers, we might cause some effect we don't want to see. So that's one. Number two, we may not need to add those bacteria because those bacteria probably already live in the aquifer. So what we need is just to speed their metabolism faster than under the natural conditions. Now, the next part of your question is, can we use this process to reduce arsenic to a level that close to the drinking water limits, which is 10 ppb? At this moment, I would say might not. The reason being, this process is extremely slow. Even when we speed them up, what the laboratory results we see is about 0.1% of total arsenic in groundwater per day. So even if you speed them up, say you get to near 1% of total arsenic per day, it's going to take a while before your groundwater is clean. You may not be able to be patient enough to wait that long. But for area that have high contamination, if you want to reduce these arsenic to a level not so high compared, say, 1 ppm or 1,000 ppb, I would argue that this is a good option to methylate them.
Which, again, is not adding bacteria, just adding something to speed up the metabolism of the existing bacteria.
Oh, exactly right. That is my proposal, that is using those bacteria who are already living in your aquifer, but just help them a little bit by adding the organic compounds like ethanol or glucose or other organic compounds that we can afford.
So are experiments underway to try to do this process, that part of it, speeding up the process?
No. So the funding for this project is disappearing, so it's gone. So we are, at this moment, we are asking for funding, writing proposals to federal agency, to looking for the future support along this line of research.
All right. The article published yesterday in Nature Geoscience is called Substantial Contribution of Biomethylation to Aquifer Arsenic Cycling. In short, as you heard, it provides some hope that potentially arsenic could be rendered less dangerous in groundwater. Dr. Chusheng Jin at the University of Oregon from the Geology Department, our guest today on the Jefferson Exchange. Dr. Jin, thanks so much.
Thank you very much, and thank you for the listeners for
your
time.
All right. Take care.